Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the Audio Devar Torah, the show where we talk the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. Of course, this week, it's not an official Parsha, it's Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year, but there is Torah reading from Sefer Bereishis, the whole idea of Hashem Pakad es Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah, Hashem made Sarah have Yitzchak, and the beautiful idea of how Hashem brought things about on Rosh Hashanah probably is what the sages teach us for Avram and Sarah to have Yitzchak and remember them. Hashem looked at them and judged them and brought them the idea and the concept to have a baby, to have a child, the great Yitzchak Avinu. And we wanted to look at a pasuk here we've mentioned in the past, but always bears good to repeat as we're thinking about reflections of the year behind us and the year that is, God willing, coming before us as we lead into Rosh Hashanah, into the new year. So in Bereishis, in this Torah reading we're going to do over the weekend, over Rosh Hashanah, it says, Vayita Eshel, talking about Avraham, the great Chesed master par excellence. Vayita Eshel bebe'er shava ve'yikra sham b'shem Hashem kel olam. And he, Avram, planted an Eshel in Be'er Sheva, and he called there in the name of Hashem, the God of the world. What is this Eshel? So we talked about it a little in the lecture series on Chesed, but there's different opinions on what Eshel is. But everybody agrees that the Eshel was something to help guests, to help something, to help them along the way. We're going to look at it inside in a second, but one opinion is that it was an actual lodge, an actual hotel. Another opinion is that it was like an orchard, something for someone to eat or to drink. But regardless of the actual opinion, before we read it inside, thanks to Chabad.org, it's something that was to help those along the way, something to care for guests, to care for people, to care for wayfarers along the way, because that was the idea and the epitome of the personality of Avraham. He wanted to help others. He was full of chesed. His whole tent, his whole house was open on four sides so he could receive guests in any way. And how wonderful a message for us as the new year comes to be selfless oriented, especially for people that need food, especially for people that need a kind word, a kind deed, that come to your house. They're looking for money, they're looking for food, they're looking for nourishment for the soul. They lost their way. We should be like the paradigm of Avraham brought into our parsha, the one who did hachnasas orchem. It's embedded in our DNA, and now during COVID times we have to be creative about how we could do hachnasas orchem, but it still is possible with using the distancing, using the equipment, and using the ideals of Avraham just in creative ways. So Avraham planted this Eshel in Be'er Sheva. He called there in the name of Hashem. So what is this Eshel? So it is, the Gemara explains what Eshel was. Eshel was basically an acronym for Achila, Shtia, and Lina. That is the three points that a guest really needs to be taken care of. Achila, make sure he has what to eat when he's in your house, in your lodging, in your care. Shtia, make sure he has what to drink when he's in your care, in your lodging, in your house. And Lina, make sure he has what to sleep, where to sleep when he comes to stay by you. Don't just throw him on the floor and give him a sleeping bag. Make sure he has a good place to sleep. It reminds me of the idea of Elisha and the Shunani woman, I forget if it was that or the other type of woman, whoever it was, when he would pass by along the way, he came by a lot of times, and they felt that for the great Elisha, he deserves his own place. So they made him an attic, they gave him a bed, they gave him a lamp and a desk and a chair. Every time he would come by, they gave him a place to stay. And in the merit of that, he asked if they ever needed anything, and they needed a son, and they had a son, but then they lost the son, and Gehazi tried to revive him, but the opinions explain that he was too haughty about it, so he didn't get to do it. And Elisha revived the son. But the whole idea, how this all started in his story, Elisha's story, was that they did the idea of Hachnasas Orchim. They did their Eshel in their way. I'm sure they gave him what to eat and what to drink, and they made sure he had a place to stay, a place to stay, a place to sleep, a place for Lina, Achila, Shtia, and Lina. Those are the aspects of Eshel, as the Gemara, and I believe the Medrash, explains as we talked about in another lecture series. So here Rashi points out sources with the help of Chabad.org and Eishel. Eishel, there's a dispute between Rav and Shmuel. One says it was an orchard, like we mentioned, from which to bring fruits for the guests at the meal. And one says, this comes from Gemara Sota, one says it was an inn for lodging in which there were all sorts of fruits. We find the expression of planting natia used in conjunction with tents, as it is written in Daniel, and he will pitch Vayita, his palatial tents. So that comes from Gemara Sota. And he called there, Rashi points out, by means of that Eshel, the name of Hashem was called God of the whole world. After they would eat, after they would drink, Avram would say to them, bless the one of whose food you have eaten. Do you think that you have eaten of my food? You have eaten of the food of the one who spoke, and the world came into being. So, and that comes from Sota also, Gemara. Avram was able to fine-tune them to bring Yiddishkeit, to bring Judaism, to bring the sparks, and to ignite their soul through using food, through using drink, and if they stayed over, by using lina. He figured out how to use Eshel to get them to connect to Hashem. This coming year, what can we do to get everyone to connect to Hashem? We talked about it a lot in Lost Along the Way. How could we help the lost souls in the audio DT a few weeks ago? How could we get people and bring people and connect them to the coming year, as we were brought into our own homes all these past months, and as it seems that COVID is here to stay for at least the short while in the future, if not longer, as we introspect into ourselves, into our own homes and our own families, we have to think outwardly. We feel safe, we feel protected, we feel okay with our own families and our own homes. God willing, Yemir Tashem, we should all be happy, healthy, and safe for 120 years, but what can we do to help our family at large in Klal Yisrael? And Avram had the perfect formula. You give them food, you give them drink, you give them a place to stay, and when they're ignited, when their physical bodies were satiated, then their souls wanted to be satiated. Their souls were put on fire, were ignited, their ash inside, the ashel, the root of the word ashel, not the root, but two of the letters in ashel are ash, the fire of learning, the fire of the soul, of the neshama was ignited. Once their physical needs were met, once Avram met their physical needs, then their spiritual needs were ignited and needed to be filled. So as we go about in our own lives, even if we're working remotely, like myself, even if we're working in areas where we are distanced, there are still ways to connect with people. There are still ways to reach out to people. There are all these Zoom Shiurim and Google Meets. Of course, we do all the podcasts and the lecture series in a Google platform also. Many people do that. There are concerts and programs on Zoom and Google, and there are ways to reach out to people in distance manners. There are still people that have abilities to meet each other in their backyards, in different areas of the backyard. There's still ability to cook for people and to buy things for people and send things to people in a distance manner. There's still ways to reach out and to do hachnasas orachim. There's still ways to connect to one another, and we should learn from Avraham to do so, especially through using the idea of Eshel. And Chabad.org points out, with the sources from the Medrash Rabbah and then the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, an insight also further about the idea of the Eshel. When Avraham's guests wished to bless him for his generosity, he would say to them, has the food you have eaten been provided by myself? You should thank, praise, and bless he who spoke the world into being. That's what we just pointed out from Rashi himself. If they refused, Avram would demand payment for the food they had eaten. How much do I owe you? They would ask. So Avram would say, a jug of wine is 10 fularin. Avram would say, a pound of meat is 10 fularin. A loaf of bread, 10 fularin. Now this sounds curious. This sounds interesting. How could each thing be worth the same amount? A jug of wine is not worth the same thing as a pound of meat, which is not worth the same thing as a loaf of bread. That sounds like a conspiracy. That sounds like something preposterous. How could it be all the same? When the guests would protest these exorbitant prices, Avram would counter, who supplies you with wine in the middle of the desert? Who supplies you with meat in the desert? Who supplies you with bread in the desert? It's not me, it comes from Hashem. When the guest would realize the predicament he was in, he would relent and proclaim, blessed be Hashem, the Hashem of the world, from whose providence we have eaten. So Avram figured out a way to quote-unquote trick them, which of course he's not doing, but to quote-unquote back them into a corner for them to realize that the only one in charge is Hashem. The only one involved is Hashem. The only one that's giving and nourishing and providing all the food and drink is Hashem. There's no one else around. It's only Hashem. As we think about all these months, as we reflect on the year before us, behind us, and the year that's coming before us, what can we say we have learned? What can we say we have taken? What did COVID teach us? What did we take from COVID? Did we realize that everything is from Hashem? Did we realize there's nothing really in life but Hashem? Did we realize how much of life is Hevel? You know, Shlomo teaches us in Koheles, we're going to read in a few weeks, Hakol Hevel, Hevel Havolim Amar Koheles. He was the wisest man of men of all time. And he had thousands of riches, he had many wives, he had many horses, he had a great lodging in the great temple, and he realized that nothing in life is worth anything except for Torah, mitzvos, and chesed. And he realized what's really Hevel. How much of the world realized how much is Hevel? When entertainment is shut down, when sports are shut down, when schools are shut down, and businesses are shut down, what is left? What really remains? The basic family unit is what remains. And what are we to learn from that? If that's all that was standing all these months, everything else was shut down, the world was put on pause. Did we pause and reflect? Did we learn? Did we introspect? Did we take anything from this experience? Hashem only causes something, not because he wants to, God forbid, be mean or hurt us or harm us. He wants us to learn a lesson. He wants us to take something from it. What did we take from it? What did we learn on it? What did we reflect on the year? Avraham taught his guests to reflect how all the food and everything comes from Hashem. And Hashem wants us to reflect that everything comes from Hashem. We should realize that nothing is in the power of man. Everything comes from Hashem. Nothing was left except for the family itself and the mitzvahs we could do, the Torah we could still learn, and the chesed we could still try to do in our precarious situation. The whole family unit is what Hashem wants us to realize. He wanted us to go inside because we're too busy with nourishkeit outside. He wanted us to stay home because too many of us are running always on business trips, always away, always busy, out of the house. Get yourself inside the house, Hashem was saying, maybe on some level. Stay in the house. Be with your loved ones. Be with your wife. Be with your children. Be present. Be focused. Be in the moment. Maybe those were some of the lessons that we should reflect that we learned from this past year. If nothing else is around, if everything else is shut down, then what are we living for? What are we doing? What are we putting ourselves through our days for? To me, during COVID, my shows felt like an extra source of a meaning and purpose, and Hashem put in my mind to start the lecture series show, because when we can't go out and we have to bring ourselves in, what can we do to contribute? What can we do to bring to the world? How many people were able to cultivate a hobby or cultivate a talent, cultivate a unique ability to contribute to the world? How many people had time to work on projects, to work on things, to find talent, hidden traits within themselves to try to use and to contribute to the world? How many people worked on a painting they never did before, or did a dance they never did before, did some writing they never did before, did some reading they never did before, did some recordings or made music or many different things that they never did before? If Hashem shuts things down, it's for a very good reason. It's not for nothing. Hashem always has his reasons, and he does things on purpose. Maybe our being in shul was too much talking. Maybe it was too much nourishkeit and too much stress and too much hevel. Maybe we didn't focus enough. So Hashem said, I'm taking away shuls. I'm taking away this and that. I'm taking away entertainment and empty uses of time, empty wasting of time. One of the most interesting expressions, which is a sad expression, I feel, and we should be pained by the expression of killing time. What kind of an expression is that? Killing time. We only get a certain amount of time in our lives. Hashem only gives us 120 years in our lives. We're never going to get the time back. I remember growing up being told by my mom, you could always make up time. You could always be early, but you can never make up time. If you're late, you can never make up that time. You can never come back and bring back that time. You could only be early and use time whatever you can, but late, you can never fix that. So Hashem only gives us X amount of time, and He's giving us the time where we couldn't go anywhere else. Even now, it's still restricted when everything is crazy, still crazy. What are we supposed to learn? What are we supposed to see? Avram teaches us we're supposed to help others, but realize who's in charge. Realize what's really important. Realize the one that controls the strings, the one that controls the world. We have to reflect on ourselves. Did we have a good year? Did we have a successful year? Did we contribute a lot to the world in our past year? What did we do with our times? Did we sit home and fret and do nothing the whole day? Or were we involved in chesed? Were we involved in mitzvahs? Were we involved in Torah? Were we involved in learning? Did you do your part to contribute to make the world a better place? You think about your names. You think about your aspects. You think about what your contribution and your ability to make the world a better place. Tikkun Olam, we talk about this in the lecture series. We're chosen from birth to fix the earth. How do we take our chosenness to make the world a better place? Avraham knew his name is Av Hamon Goyim. It was Av Aram, and then it became Av Hamon Goyim. He was the father of a multitude of peoples. He was a father to all these people. He guided them and taught them as children to see Hashem, to recognize Hashem, to acknowledge Hashem, and to bring Hashem into their lives. He made everyone reflect on who's around us, how much of us reflected on what Hashem is doing to us, what Hashem is bringing to us, and what can we do to make our own lives better. As the new year comes upon us, we should think what we could do and how we live in such a COVID society, in such a COVID situation. Do we have a nice smile, a nice exclamation, and a nice interaction with everyone around us? As we're going to read in a second from the Lubavitcher Rebbe's teachings, our interactions with people are important, no matter who we interact with, which we talk about on our shows all the time. The Lubavitcher Rebbe explains with Chabad.org what value, we might ask, was there in such an unwilling proclamation extracted under duress when he got them to acknowledge, Avram got them to acknowledge Hashem under such a situation? Was this not a mere mouthing of words, devoid of any conviction as to the truth of the one God or any desire to thank Him for His providence? But Avram had a vision of humanity which convinced him that every positive deed, every positive word, or every positive thought does have value, no matter how superficial, quote-unquote, or hypocritical, quote-unquote, it might seem to a less discerning eye. Every single deed that a person does should not seem trivial, it should not be discounted, should not be put down. Everyone should contribute in their own little way. This person cooks for someone, that's a beautiful thing. This one makes a huge event on his dime for someone, that's a wonderful thing. No matter how big or how small, if it's a positive deed, a positive word or positive thought, that's wonderful and it should have value. And everybody should be valued for all their contributions, no matter how big or how small. That's the whole problem in society, how some professions are lauded and some are not. Some people are lauded and some are not. Some actions are lauded and some are not. When we don't have everyone on even playing field, when everyone's not in the same field getting respect and getting the admiration and getting the recompensation that they should get, that's a problem. Everyone should be valued. Everyone should be respected. It's not just certain professions are seen as essential. Everyone is essential in their own way, and everybody should be thanked in their own way. That's another way to reflect on the year. Such direct things of so many things, people were thanked and so many professions were thanked, and that's a wonderful thing, but it shouldn't take COVID to bring it upon us to thank people, to interact with people, and to acknowledge people. And it shouldn't be that only some professions are acknowledged and not others. Why is it only the health people or the trash people or the or the male people that are thanked? What about the teachers? What about the therapists? What about the toll workers or the baristas? Any single person that's doing anything to contribute to society, to help society, to help those around us, should be thanked, should be interacted with, and should be talked to like a regular human being. Every action, every positive deed is something that brings value to the world. And that's another reflection on the year behind us. As we move forward, as we try to go day by day, everyone we interact with, the person that directs the traffic as I walk my son to school, I try to wave to him and say, thank you, have a good day. And as I leave, I say, thank you, have a good day. Blin Eder, I try to do so. Because each person we interact with can change their day, can help their day, and can make them have a positive impact. No matter what their profession, no matter what they do, if we contribute something in a positive way, that should be something of value as we learn from Avram and we reflect upon the year. When Avram looked at his guests, he did not see pagans and idolaters. He saw creatures of Hashem, men and women who had been created in the divine image and possessed a potential inherent to the very essence of their being to recognize their creator and serve his will. All too often, I talk about it all the time, we hate the person instead of hating the sin or hating the action. Every person has a divine image and has a divine aspect, a divine spark, especially those of the Judaic realm, especially our Jewish brothers and sisters. How could we hate other people? How could we go about and violently spew venom and vile at other people? They're our brothers and sisters. They contain our spiritual DNA. They're not pagans. They're not idolaters. They're not sinners. They're people that have sinned, but they are creatures of Hashem. Every single one of us, whether it's an alcoholic or gambleholic, or someone that has major depression, or someone that has major anxiety, or someone that feels a need to steal, a kleptomaniac, they're all creatures of Hashem. We shouldn't label them, realize that it's one tiny aspect of them. Everyone's in the divine image. Everyone has the potential. They just have to tap into it and fight the negative aspects, because they all have the essence of their being, the divine spark, the pentelayid. And we talk about it a lot. And there's so many people that have that essence. They just didn't tap into it. They just weren't acknowledged and they weren't brought out to fruition. Avram taught us that if you nourish the physical body, then you can nourish the soul, the ash of the ashel. There's a need, a longing to have the food, to have the drink, but there's also a need and a longing to have the food and the drink for the soul, the ash tamid, the ash of our inner soul, of our neshama. Neshama has the words, has different letters in it, including the hey of Hashem. It has the aspect of Hashem. We want to ignite that aspect of Hashem. We want to nourish the body and nourish the soul. But how many of us have got spiritual nourishment, especially during Corona, when there wasn't much else to turn to? We could turn to the Jewish websites, we could turn to the Jewish events, or we could turn to negative, but hopefully we turn to the positive. As we were brought inside, what came outside, as we brought ourselves into our homes, what came out of our neshamas? What did we learn? What did we reflect? And what can we do for the future going forward? Every single person has the essence, and every single person has a spark of Hashem that should be ignited and acknowledged and seen for what it really is. Most often, the Lubavitcher Rebbe continues, a kind word and a helping hand will bring to light this inner potential. Again, when you interact with people, when you talk to people, just one kind word can really change their day. We talk about all the time that example, the gas attendant that was so sad over the rabbi that passed away, because that rabbi was the one that talked to him every time he's met him. Nobody else would talk to the gas attendant, but the rabbi would. He had a kind word for that gas attendant, Larry, or whatever his name was. He had a helping hand to bring light to his potential, to understand and acknowledge you're a hard worker. You're giving gas to cars so that cars can get different places. Each job can be seen for positive aspects. Each occupation, each ability and talent can be used for good and bad. We should find the good in each thing and how it's helping the world. And these are reflections we can have of the past year and how we're moving forward. At times, however, a soul might be so encrusted by negative influences and a corrupted character that a certain degree of pressure must be applied to quell its resistance to a godly deed. Of course, any use of such pressure must conform to the dictates of Hashem's Torah, whose ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its pathways are peace, as in the case of Avram's fully legitimate demand for payment. Sometimes we're burnt out. sometimes our soul is encrusted and full of crust and needs to be chipped away and broken away and taken the crust out of the neshama. Sometimes, like when we sleep, we have it in our eyes and on our face. We have to get it away to reveal the full aspect of our face. So too, from the neshama, we have to reveal away, take away the crust and take away the outer layers and dig down, dig deep to reveal the soul and get rid of the negative influences, get rid of the corrupted character that might be there from over years and years. And to do that, we have to ignite the soul, sometimes through meals and sometimes through food and sometimes through igniting it in a materialistic way to get through to the spiritualistic way. Because the Torah is a wonderful thing. The Torah is a peaceful thing. The Torah is an amazing thing. We just have to get through it and understand it to find the helping hand to bring out the soul, to bring out the Eish. And that can be done through the Eishel, which in by definition contains the Eish of the Eishel. And we have to make sure it's done in a peaceful way. Too much in this past year was violent. There was too many demonstrations, too much politics involved in a basic safety health measure. There's too much politics in different movements that were ignited over different things. The world is supposed to be peaceful. We're supposed to get along with one another. Even if you don't agree with people's actions, you shouldn't hate the being of the other person. It shouldn't ignite you and incite you to violence. Why are politics so demeaning and so mud-flinging and full of sleaziness? Where does that come from? Why do people hate each other so much? You can have different parties, you can have different views, but it shouldn't come down to slinging mud on one another. It shouldn't come down to hating parties and to hating other people. You can have disagreements, but where does that come from? Doesn't COVID teach us in the past year that we're all going through a massive global pandemic? We're all going through a massive global danger of epic proportions. We're supposed to unite, not divide. We're supposed to be together. It says united together but home alone, or whatever the phraseology is. We might be distanced, we might be in our own homes, but we're united in this fight together. How could there be such decisiveness, such divisiveness, and such fighting when we really, deep down, we're all brothers and sisters? We should all be united. Maybe Hashem wants us to be united. Maybe he's throwing tests at us to see how we'll react, to see if we could be united. We know the phraseology, Kol Yisrael Ariven Zelazah, we're all responsible for one another. How wonderful so many movements, so many concerts, so many different initiatives came about during COVID. But to me, I didn't see so much now. It kind of fizzled out. In the beginning, there was full steam ahead, but then it kind of fizzled out now. Maybe we should bring it back. Maybe we should reignite it, do more concerts, do more events, do more comedies, do more Zooms and Google Meets. I was telling my wife throughout this whole process, I don't know why there wasn't always Zoom Shurim, why there wasn't always Google Meets, why people didn't always live stream weddings and live stream events. What about all those people that couldn't meet it? Maybe this technology was created through the terrible instance of COVID to teach people that maybe we really should have these Google Meets and Google Chavrusas and Google virtual learning. It's really a nice idea. And even if COVID wasn't here anymore, I still want to keep up my Google lectures because I think it's a wonderful idea, a brilliant idea created by Hashem. And maybe COVID taught us that we have to be more essential to ourselves, not just essential workers, but essential to ourselves, and reveal the essence of ourselves, the essence of our beings. Avram showed how on a small manner you could really influence big things. Avram didn't have 4,000 meals every second. He gave them bread, he gave them water, he made them beautiful meals. They could have been lavish, but he did things in a modest manner, in a beautiful manner, and it was still a beautiful simcha, a beautiful meal. How many simchas nowadays are so beautiful during COVID times that would never happen during non-COVID times? A wedding, instead of 80 grand, instead of 40 grand, now costs maybe a couple grand, but is still just as beautiful in some ways. And I think it's even more beautiful in some ways because you really could focus on the guests. You could really focus on the experience. You could do a lovely situation outdoor. My wife's best friend had it outdoors, and it was a really beautiful simcha. And I didn't think that anything was missing because they didn't spend 80 grand on 17-piece orchestras or 45 tables or 70,000 lights. Or you get the pictures. You get the simcha. You get the dancing in the proper, healthy, safe way. It's still a beautiful simcha. Maybe Hashem wants us to reflect reflect through this past year moving forward that things should be done in a more modest way, in a more calm way, in a more toned down way. Maybe we're missing the point. Things are too lavish nowadays. Avram teaches us real chesed doesn't need to be extra extravagant. Real chesed doesn't need to be extra lavish. Real chesed should be done in a tznius way, in a nice way, in a proper way. It doesn't have to be spending gazillions of dollars to be a beautiful simcha. And I think that's something we missed throughout the past generations. Sometime between post-World War II till nowadays, the wedding went from like a couple shekels to like gazillion dollars. I don't know when or how that happened. Maybe it's like the keeping up with the Joneses kind of a philosophy in America or whatnot. But I know my wife's grandfather talks about it all the time, how the simchas in Europe were simple. They had a little bit of schnapps, they had a little bit of herring, a little bit of cake, and nobody thought that they were missing anything. They wished Mazel Tov, they danced, they were happy, but it wasn't about the amount of food or the amount of tables or how big the orchestra was. When did we lose ourselves in a frenzy of worrying over craziness, crazy small minute details? In the scheme of things, what does the Chasana Kala really want? A beautiful event that they will remember with their family and friends, with good food, good pictures, beautiful surroundings, and lebedigness. Why does that have to be 80 grand? Why does that have to be lavish? It could be a beautiful affair, a simple, modest affair, but still extravagant in its own way, but not through physical means. Maybe that's another thing that could be that we're supposed to reflect upon, to do things in a more subtle way, in a calm way. Birthday parties done in a simple way. You know, many times we have to do things in a crazy way, in a lavish way. We rent out an entire hall for our wife's birthday or our husband's birthday. We have to have the whole bowling alley to ourselves. But look what people did. They figured out a way to do a birthday party in a socially distanced way with time slots and masks and doing it in our own backyards. How many people did it? My son's friends, they did a drive-by. It was still a beautiful party. They still gave prizes and they gave food and the kids still feel validated. The kids still felt happy. They didn't need to rent out the entire complex of the basketball hall to do so. It still was done in a nice way, in a beautiful way. Maybe that's the idea also to remember about how we could do things. We reflect upon the past year. We reflect upon the idea and the ability to have a beautiful simcha and to have beautiful chesed for others. And it doesn't have to be done in a crazy way. Real chesed, by the way, is anonymous. How many of us do chesed and need to be acknowledged for it? How many do things and we need to be told about it? Do you think Avram went around saying, look at what I do for other people? Do you think he asked for the acknowledgement or the honor? Sometimes it's really good to do things anonymously. When we sign up for meals, when we give meals, we don't always have to say who we are. We could say anonymous. We don't have to say what we're going to give. We could just keep it anonymous. That's one of the highest levels of tzedakah, you know? After giving a job, setting up someone that they could be self-sufficient, which is the highest level of tzedakah. The next one is when you don't know who's giving it. And the person who's getting it doesn't know who gave it. That's the highest level of anonymity, not having to have the limelight. And Avram was very good in chesed, but I'm sure he didn't look for the honor. Another thing to reflect upon, nowadays when we're all in our own homes, things have to be more secretive in a good way, more anonymous in a good way. Avram understood the Rabbavitch Rebbe finishes that no human acknowledgement of God can ever be hypocritical. On the contrary, a denial of Hashem is the ultimate hypocrisy, for it is at variance with the person's quintessential being. When a creature of Hashem proclaims, "Blessed be Hashem of the world, from whose providence we have eaten," nothing can be more consistent with his or her innermost self. So as we wrap up the year, in the last few days, we should reflect, we should think about different things that we should take from the year, that we should understand about the year, and we should reflect about the year. From the quintessential of Chesed, Avraham, the person who understood what it means to give to others and to provide for others, even in a simple way, through the Eshel, thinking about the Achila and giving the food to another, not just the physical food, but the spiritual food for their neshama, and the shtia, the drink, not just the physical drink, but to thirstily drink up the words. We talk about Mayim, that Torah is like water and Torah is like fire. Torah can burn up our souls to quench the desire for learning the teachings of Hashem, but also when we're so thirsty to drink up the words of Torah, that we should do it like the Eishel, the giving the physical, and then the spiritual will come, and the understanding the Lina, giving the place to sleep for a guest, but finding it through that to bring the Eishel of the person, the root of the Eishel, the first part of the word Eishel, that a person should realize that they were given the proper nourishment for the guest, whether it's the orchard or the lodge, understanding that we have to give the physical and the spiritual nourishment, and when everything was shut down, how to avoid things that are hevel and to focus on the things that are really ruchnius-based, that are really spiritual-based, understanding that Hashem is the one that controls everything. Why does it take the entire world shutting down for people to realize who's really in control, who's really in charge, who's really the forerunner of all things? No man could really say that they have any control over anything. And most times, most people don't even know what the story is with COVID. They think they do, and the experts say this, the experts say that, but really no one knows anything. And they thought antibodies was this, but really doesn't mean anything. And nobody really knows, and people could get reinfected. Nobody ever thought anyone could get reinfected, but no politics involved, but understanding that really Hashem is the one in charge, and we should reflect upon the past year, not fighting with one another. We should be united. We should be together, not fool each other and throw each other in the mud. At a time like this, there shouldn't be fighting. There shouldn't be uprisings. There should be unity. There should be world peace. Maybe if we understood the lessons, we understood the reflections of what maybe we should be learning about this past year, maybe that would put us in a mindset to bring the ultimate peace, to bring the Mashiach, and to bring the building of the third Beis HaMikdash speedily in our days. May it come soon. And from the lessons of Avraham, from the lessons of the Eishel, from the lessons of how to reach other people and how to keep things in a modest way, in a simple way, and to push people to understand what Hashem does and who Hashem is, maybe in those ways we could find the positive aspects, understand and appreciate everyone and their job, have a kind word for everyone, and try to involve ourselves and interact with people in the right way and bring positivity to the world, understanding that knowing Hashem in the right way would bring truth and bring peace in this way. Maybe that would be a small way. By reflecting on all those things in the year that passed, maybe it'll bring a wonderful year to come, full of happiness, full of health, full of safety, and full of the ultimate redemption with the bringing of the coming of Mashiach and the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. May it be speedily in our day today. Join us next time as we talk the audio DT with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.